Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have the words of eternal life. Help us now as we come to your word to hear it and understand it and apply it in our lives. We ask it for your sake and glory. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? Take a good look at those around you. Consider the people sitting beside you or in front of you, perhaps even behind you. Would you have chosen these people as some of your favourite people to be with you here in church today? Would you or do you normally socialise with them? As you look around at some of these folk, really, would you do business with some of them? Do you even know some of them that well? Well, I guess in most of the social settings that I've mentioned, we have a fair degree of choice over those we mix with and those we do business with. We often don't get that much choice about those with whom we mix at church. Maybe your biological family members aren't particularly close. Maybe they are, but still, that's another area where you really don't get much choice. Like it or not, you're generally in the family that you're in, and you have to learn to make the best of it, or hopefully at least you do. Well, in being part of the church, we've been called by God into his family. We don't get much say in the other members, in who the other members of that family are, but we belong to one another just the same. For many years, the emphasis of Protestant Christianity has been on the individual's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the offer to us of personal salvation through him. Sadly, though, this has often come at the expense of a proper understanding of what God is doing, what he's doing among us as a people, not just as a collection of individuals. Yes, he does offer to each one of us that personal choice of whether or not to follow Jesus as Lord. But in doing so, God is actually calling out for himself a people, the body of Christ, the church, his own family. The great picture of the book of Revelation, of the final point of history to which God is leading us, is not simply a whole set of individuals with him in heaven, but of individuals gathered together as the great bride of Christ. Though we're probably some little way off from that ideal expression at this stage. Time and again throughout the scriptures, God's people are urged to care for one another, to encourage one another, to fellowship with one another, to build one another up. We're commanded each to walk closely with the Lord and to imitate the Lord Jesus, but the most frequent command in the whole New Testament is that we love one another. In fact, that phrase, one another, is one of the most often repeated phrases in the whole of the New Testament. St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians of his great desire and yearning for them. In this, his first letter to them, he thanks God for them, he praises them, and he urges them to press on in their faith as they have been doing. After spending only a few weeks or perhaps a month with them, he was beside himself with worry about how they were going in the Lord. And so he sent Timothy back from Athens, back to Thessalonica, to find out news about them. And when Timothy reports back to Paul, who's now moved on to Corinth, Paul is overjoyed. He's overjoyed that they are standing firm, that they are going from strength to strength in Christ. But like the old TV advertisements, but wait, Paul wants more. He wants them to go on growing in love for one another as members together of God's family. In the section of this letter that we looked at today, Paul reminds them of the love that he and Timothy and Silas had for them and shared with them while they were together with them. He reminds them how they shared more than just the good news about Jesus, as important as that was, but they shared more than just that with them. They shared their lives with them because, he says, they had become so dear to them. In this and in other places in the letter, Paul tells the Thessalonians, and of course, as the letters come down to us, he's telling us the same things too. He tells them to be imitators of him and so to do the same things. Jesus gave us, his followers, a new commandment. Jesus' new commandment is to love one another as he has loved us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, gives us the example of how to do that. We need to care for one another, to pray for each other, to spend time together with each other, sharing our lives with one another. Do we spend time with each other? Do we really fellowship together and so build one another up in love? With whom would you say you spend most time or become most deeply involved? Is it with other members of the body of Christ? Or is it with people from other social contexts who don't know the Lord Jesus in the same way that we do? Now, please don't hear me saying that we shouldn't have these other social contexts. There is much value in many ways in being closely connected with people outside the body of Christ as well. Still, it seems from the scriptures that our primary networks as followers of Jesus Christ should be amongst other such followers of his. We might answer, well, we don't know people from within the church so well, or we don't have so much in common with them, perhaps, as with others. But think about Paul's situation. Here was a learned Jew, a Pharisee from Syria, pouring out his heart in love for a group of new Greek converts whom he'd only met a couple of months before and with whom he'd only spent the very briefest period of time. He'd dealt with them as a father might deal with his own children, though by human standards, they probably had very little in common as well. What they did have, though, that bound them together closer than any other tie was their common response to the marvellous gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes himself as their father. He might describe himself as their mother in another part of the letter, and talks about them as his children. But he also tells them how they'd all received and responded to the word of God, and so been called together by God into his one family, so that often he also addresses them as his brothers and sisters. And he, as their brother, was offering his life to them and urging them to do the same for one another as they sought to become imitators of Paul. But, of course, there are those within our Christian fellowship with whom we don't always see eye to eye. There are those whom we find it difficult to like, let alone to love. There are people who just grate on us and with whom we don't always get along. And yet, we are commanded to love one another. Not necessarily to like one another, but to love one another. Paul wrote this first letter to the Thessalonians from the city of Corinth, where he'd moved on to preach the gospel and to call people there into God's family as well. And just 3 or 4 years after leaving Corinth, he writes back to them because of the mess that they'd gotten themselves into. They were divided amongst themselves, and they'd made life very difficult for Paul off and on during those intervening years. And yet, he could write to the Christians in Corinth virtually the same things as he's written here to those in Thessalonica. How he loved them dearly. how he'd shared his life with them by way of an ongoing example of that love, how he never stopped praying for them and giving thanks to God for them, despite all the grief that they'd given him. Finding our brothers and sisters in the Lord difficult to get along with can be a very hard thing, but in the end, it's no excuse for not loving them. And I need to hear that rebuke as much as anybody else here. But we need to spend time with one another. Pardon me, to get to know one another, to care for and love one another. That's the only way that we can be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the family into which he's called us. There are families who don't get along and who become strangers and don't spend time together, even when circumstances might otherwise allow. But those families we would generally consider to be broken or dysfunctional. Let us not be a dysfunctional part of God's family. Let's do as Paul urges and as he models for us. Let's support one another, pray for one another, spend time together, and really get to know one another. Let's encourage, comfort, and urge one another to live lives worthy of God, who calls us into his kingdom and his glory, and most particularly into his family.